can't remember what we were looking at. But we hung a Louis from the judgments, and we're going to hang another Louis again today because something was brought up last week by John that I thought, this is a great question. And it came with 2 Corinthians 3:8, 3:18, where it talks about he's going to burn everything up. And the only thing left standing is your faith in Christ. So we're going to look at, what does this mean to burn everything up? What is the fire of God, biblically? So I thought this was, I really did. When John, you said that, I was ready to move on to the judgment seat of Christ, but I just felt like the Lord saying, you're going to look at that. We're going to look at the fire of God and what the Bible says about the fire of God. So, Kevin, this is open. It's open discussion. People want to jump in. But I am going to ask, let me get through this. But if you do feel some importance to weigh in, that's fine. It is open. But just let me get through some of these. Some people are going to read. There's a lot of reading to be done here. So if we look at the fire of God, I think what we're starting to realize in this church is we're not talking about oxygen, heat, and fuel, right? There's something else going on here. What God has opened up to this church is there's a dimensional realm that's out there that is just as real or even more real than the world we're living in. So the first verse here is just Revelation 5:6 says, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. So the seven spirits of God says they're eyes, right? So the number seven here, I've always heard it say it means perfection.
Perfection.
I don't think it means perfection. I think it means completeness, right? Because the devil has seven horns,
right,
and he's not perfect.
So
it's complete, but it's also a Holy Spirit word,
mm-hmm,
because he had the seven eyes of the Holy Spirit. And when you read the Isaiah 11, it mentions these seven spirits and it calls them the Spirit of God. So the number seven here represents the Holy Spirit too. In Revelation 4:5, it says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So we have seven lamps of fire. Well, what did God call the candlestick in Revelation? The church.
Yeah.
We're the church. And we've studied that where we know he's not talking about church ages. He's probably talking about, yes, congregations, but he's actually talking about the individual.
Yeah.
That you're that candlestick. Well, if you have the lamp on you, that's the fire.
Right.
That's the Holy Spirit on the candlestick, dwelling on the candlestick, guiding the candlestick. Make sense?
Amen.
So he called it right there. He says the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So now we have a connection. The fire of God and the Holy Spirit. Revelation 1:12 says, and I turned to see the voice of him that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. He did not see seven menorahs. He saw candlesticks. That is the individual believer, and he has the Holy Spirit on him. And in the midst of the candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paths with a golden girdle. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand are, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So if these are churches or church people, you need a lamp on you, the fire of God on you. Okay, Zechariah 4:2 says, and he said unto me, what seest thou? And I said, I looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, and a bowl upon it, on the top of it, and his seven lamps there upon it, seven pipes and seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. So Well, this is interesting, too, because what do we see in Revelation 11? He calls Elijah and Moses my two witnesses and the two candlesticks. Wow, the word, the candlesticks, too. So clearly Elijah and Moses are coming, but he also mentions the two candlesticks that are by God in Revelation 11, which is the Jew and the Gentile with the fire on them.
Only Elijah and Moses are taken.
That's right.
We're taken the same.
Yes. Yes, there is so much going on there in Revelation, so now you can read Revelation 11 a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. Not just Elijah and Moses, but the two candlesticks that stand by the Lord, the believing Gentile and the believing Jew. Okay, so the next one here is the Holy Spirit, fire, and Israel. So this is the promise that God made to Israel. Zechariah 13:8 says, "And it shall come to pass in all the land, saith the Lord, that two parts shall be cut off and die, but a third shall be left therein. And I will bring a third through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried, that they may call upon my name, and I may hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." So what does fire do? It refines. Okay, so if fire refines earthly elements, what is the Holy Spirit of God going to refine? The believer. He's going to make it pure. And clearly he's talking here about the second coming, right? Because he says, "This is, I will say this is my people, and they will say, this is my Lord." This is the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the wedding feast that takes place on the day of the Lord. So Zechariah 12, 9 and 10 says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." What event is this? It's clearly Armageddon, right? On the day of the Lord. "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. And there shall be a bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." So, I mean, there's a lot going on here. He's going to, that day, you know, the dispensationalists tell us that the Jew is going to be saved by keeping the law during the seven-year period. And God says, "I'm going to pour my spirit on them." It's one or the other. The law never saved anybody. Nobody kept the law. They were, even the Jews in the Old Testament couldn't keep the law. And God even says that your sacrifices mean nothing to me. Circumcise the foreskin of your heart. Mm-hmm. Right? That was even before the law was given.
Right. Amen.
Okay, so let's look at Revelation 11. Revelation 11, 3 to 13. We were just talking about that. So there are going to be two witnesses. We know two of them are Elijah and Moses. We've proved that before. We'll get into this again. "And I will give power, that's the Holy Spirit word, unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." So there you now have a time frame, 3.5 years. But we know this is a great tribulation. The seven-year period is not the Great Tribulation. The last 3.5 years are. So now we can narrow it down as to the Great Tribulation that takes place, and there's going to be witnesses. We know Elijah and Moses are two of them because it just takes place in Israel. Well, he has to have witnesses around the rest of the world, too. Elijah and Moses aren't going to be testifying in Cleveland. We are, right? Okay, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks. The two olive trees and the two candlesticks. "Standing before the God of the whole earth, if any man will hurt them, fire shall proceed out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed." So this is what we've talked about. This is what the pre-tribbers are going to miss out at. That you are going to see the hand of God openly on our enemies. We're going to the line of Moses, us, we are going to call down fire on these people, and they are going to slaughter people. Now, will some of us pay the ultimate price? Yes. But there's a war going on here that's spiritual, and you're going to see the hand of God, the Holy Spirit, really in effect.
And I think it's the fact that when Satan has his wings clipped,
yeah.
he's thrown to the earth,
yep.
and he makes war. It's now it's a one-dimensional war.
That's right.
It's a physical war.
That's right.
Now, and the Lord responds with those miraculous things.
That's right. And what you're seeing here are the trumpet judgments would start. The trumpets start the 3.5-year period. And you read the trumpet judgments, and there's fire coming down from heaven. Well, this is what the two of witnesses are doing, and I think we're doing it too.
I don't know if that would work, you know, what you're saying there. And the reason, because these are the two witnesses in Jerusalem. Right? Now, I do agree that we're here through that, but I don't know if me or you are going to have the authority to speak words and fire come down and destroy.
Well, when the latter rain is poured out,
mm-hmm.
are we not going to be able to do the same things that they did in the book of Acts?
Yeah, they didn't call down fire on people.
Right, but the Holy Spirit was working through that. Right. They yeah. raised the dead.
Now, I believe that we'll be able to raise the dead, speak in new tongues, all those things. You know,
yeah.
I absolutely believe that.
Yeah.
But I've never even considered that these two olive trees, these two candlesticks, and the authority that's specifically given to them
yeah.
would be distributed for every believer.
Are we a candlestick? Yeah, I'm just saying what the Bible says. Are we a candlestick? Yeah,
we are the vessels of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. And the seven candlesticks that are the seven churches, yes, right. we are a part of that.
Yeah.
I still don't know. I have to have more
yeah.
biblical proof,
yeah.
you know, to that the rest of everyone who's born again would have the authority to call down fire from heaven.
Well, I think this is how it works. Just like what we've studied this
yeah.
in the book of Acts when we went through all the miracles when
mm-hmm.
the Holy Spirit was poured out in the early rain.
Yeah.
They really weren't, like, on their own behalf calling these things down.
Yeah.
It was the Holy Spirit that did it.
Right.
They went through these people. You know what I mean?
Well,
so really,
you're
just the vessel
yeah.
of the Holy Spirit.
When the two lied to the Holy Spirit, Peter spoke and they died.
Right.
Right? And I don't see that as a pattern. I mean, Peter was able to do that.
Right.
I don't see that Paul did that, or that John or James or Bartholomew or anybody else that was an apostle of Christ had the Holy Spirit used them that same way.
Well, Philip was moved from one spot to another, not
yeah.
on his own.
Not on
his own.
Yeah, he was.
The Holy Spirit picked him up.
He was
and moved him
50 miles. 50
miles.
Right.
Antioch.
So,
yeah.
But it is the destruction of someone else.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm having trouble with that.
Right.
I think that when this whole warfare changes
mm-hmm.
into another, it changes from that. Him running to and from the earth, it's not going to be the book of Job anymore.
Right.
He's cast down.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
and I think
absolutely.
At that point, the Lord dramatically intercedes physically.
Yes.
And that's when the earth opens its mouth and swallows
the
incense flow. All these different, the woman is fed, the woman is taken to the wilderness. I don't understand what that is.
Right.
But I know that at that point, the whole contextual arrangement of that war has changed.
Right.
The dynamics changed.
Well,
and I think that's the letter in.
There,
I think that's when these manifestations take place. And it's God doing it.
The spiritual power becomes manifested on
right.
the planet as it was
yep.
in the very
yep.
beginning.
Yeah, it's dramatic. I think it's a dramatic
right.
change.
And
yeah.
as
yeah.
God says, Satan comes in and he opens up the earth and swallows them. That's God opening up the earth. That's not Curtis speaking fire from assuming John. Right? Now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So let me just give you a couple
yeah.
of the trumpets.
Right.
The first angel sounded and there was a fire mingled with blood that was cast upon the earth. Where did it come from?
Well, it came from heaven.
Okay. So when it was cast by the second angel, there were a great mountain burning with fire cast on the sea. Where did that come from?
Again,
heaven. So once again, the point I'm trying to make is they're speaking. Let's say it's the two witnesses. They're speaking, and a trumpet blows, and then there's things coming down from heaven
mm-hmm.
in response to their calling,
mm-hmm.
right?
Now, I do believe that the Holy Spirit could get the whole body of believers to pray for the same thing. I've seen that in my physical life, right? I've seen, you know, the Holy Spirit touch my heart, touch your heart, and we intercede for the same thing without us really talking about it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I can see that, you know, as the body of Christ prays against the wickedness, and God uses these two conduits to come against.
So, are they any different than us during that time?
That's the question.
Yeah, I guess that is the question.
God is no respecter of persons.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
but he does have these two set out apart from from all other human beings.
Doesn't make every believer. Yes.
I mean, they showed up in the
candlestick. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was Elijah and Moses.
And so were the James, John, and Peter were there also.
Right.
Right. So there, it does represent something else. So on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was Elijah and Moses, right? And there's James, John, and Peter, and Christ.
Right.
Now, they partook in the conversation, but they didn't add to the conversation. Right? They heard the things that were going on, but they didn't say, excuse me, Jesus, Moses, I think you say here. Right? And so, so as the Holy Spirit was working, in fact, even when Peter said, well, let's build three tabernacles, the voice of God came down and said, here's my son, hear him. You know, you don't need to hear about all this other stuff.
Okay, so, I mean, to me, this is really...
Yeah, it's...
Let me just... Right. Are we candlesticks?
Yeah.
Is not the fire, the lamp going to be on the candlestick?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me read this again. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the whole earth.
Right.
And if any man hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth. Is fire coming out of their mouth, or are they speaking?
They're speaking.
And devoureth their enemies. If any man hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven and rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over water to turn them into blood, and to smite the earth, not just Israel,
right?
The earth with plagues. I know they're going to be in Israel,
right?
Well, we're going to be in the earth.
Yeah. It's exciting,
man. All I'm saying is, you know,
yeah.
This was like last week where we were talking about rewards for certain people.
Yeah, yeah. It's
that God is no respecter of person. When God could give to Elijah, matter of fact, God even said about Elijah, he's like passions like we are.
Right.
He's no different than us. But God chooses that vessel.
Right.
It doesn't matter if I'm Elijah or if I'm Tom Elias. It's God that chooses that vessel to work through the Holy Spirit. And that's all I'm saying.
I'm with you there 1,000%.
Okay, so let's move on.
Again, just have the wrong picture in my head. What you got, John? Where are you going? I have the wrong picture in my head, you know, because I can see me standing in Caledonia talking, preaching the gospel, somebody come against me. I say, drop dead, and they just dissolve.
See, but that's not it. God's going to say, drop dead.
Yeah.
See,
well, they say it.
Right, right.
If anyone comes against them, they
that's
say
right,
it.
Because the Spirit is working through them.
Remember
right.
What Jesus said to the disciples?
Oh,
you know what Spirit you're on.
Yeah, amen.
And they said, should we call fire down?
Right.
So this is God is the ultimate.
Yeah.
So maybe I... Go ahead, Diane. I'm sorry.
The thing that gets it all is the word two.
Right.
There's only two.
Two, yeah. Right.
We have those powers somewhat.
Right.
But not...
But they're right. So, as like on the end of your plug, right, on the other side of the two prongs, there's 1,000 copper wires. But there's only two prongs that plug into the receptacle that receive the power and bring it to the rest of the lines.
I couldn't find a verse, but somewhere in there, Jesus says, if you had a little faith, you could move mountains.
Right.
If you move a mountain, I think you.
Right. And we do have a little faith, and through that faith, he's going to move mountains.
Right.
Right.
You know, he's going to use us to speak these things.
Yeah.
You know, and the two witnesses are the Jew and the Gentile, groups of people. Mm-hmm. It's not just two individuals,
right.
The Jew and the Gentile.
Right. And I got to say, that's just, I don't want to go off on this, but in that mountain, it's spiritual.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's spiritual, mean not real.
Right.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, it's more real.
Okay, so let's move on. And when they have. Did you
In verse 7, it says, in the days of their prophecy. This is what they had to do. Right. So to me, it's referring that will be the same type of thing.
Right.
Right? It's not just whatever we think.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I was just listening to Voice of the Martyrs yesterday, and a woman that was in prison and got out said that you cannot imagine the fellowship of Christ until you're in that situation. You can't even begin to understand. She misses that. She doesn't miss prison, right? She misses the communion with her God.
Right.
And that when we go through these things. So I just throw that out there as we talk about these things, that we will have the power of the Holy Spirit in us in such a heavy way that really in our lives today,
we can't quite conceive.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's like me and Kevin were saying. We see things in this time, space, and matter, in this realm. That's going to open up to us, just like it did in the book of Acts.
Yes.
Open up to them. And your faith is now going to be manifested.
Right.
Made known.
So it may be just my mind conceiving in my temporal body, you know, that coming down and speaking fire and consuming people, because that's what the Bible says. But it may be something completely different as we pray as a body of believers, as the Holy Spirit gives us unction to be one body, one head, one baptism, one Lord, right? That true unity of the Spirit,
right.
You know, as we're being persecuted as a worldwide congregation, then there's certain power that it will be released from these two individuals.
Absolutely. And clearly, you can see their prophecies are the same prophecies that they did during their time on the earth, Elijah and Moses, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, they are dealing with that, the Levant, the area there with their enemies, Psalm 83, Turkey, Iran, Iraq. They're dealing in that area, but we're going to be out there too.
Well,
we're in this world too.
When they speak it, it affects the earth.
Right.
Right? They speak it.
And it could be, that's actually a good thought. It could be that the two witnesses are speaking it and it's being poured out. So
it's like splash.
Right. Okay, so verse 7, when they have finished their testimony, the beast which ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead body shall lie in the street of a great city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, which our Lord was crucified. Was Jesus crucified in Sodom or Egypt? He's crucified in Jerusalem. They are one of the most Jewish people, if they don't believe it, they are some of the most wickedest people on the face of the planet. And this isn't anti-Semitism. Even God's called them a stiff-necked people. But us as a church, we know. We don't believe in replacement theology because we know that God is still going to save them in the last. So we still pray for their salvation. We pray for them. But I'm not giving one penny to build a temple over there where the Antichrist is going to step in. I'm not giving, and yet Christians are being told, you know, give money for the temple. I'm not doing that.
They think they're facilitating the rapture.
Because they think it's coming first.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations. So there you go. There's four. And what is the number four? It's the dimensional. The fourth is always the dimensional. And nations. So it's not just Israel. Shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and they shall not suffer their dead bodies to put a grave. Why does God say here 3.5? Because he's fulfilling the 3.5-year prophecy, and these 3.5 days are the fulfillment of the 3.5 years of prophecy.
Now, read that. Who is seeing their bodies for 3.5 days?
The people, right? And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies. So
that's
the world.
That includes the Jews.
Right.
Because the Jewish, while you're very...
Right.
Before the sun goes down.
Right. Good point.
Yeah, that's right.
Good point.
And they're going to see it for 3.5 days.
Right. And they that, so here you go, here's the they again. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts one to another because these two prophets, so now you go. Mm-hmm. Now we actually could put it on them.
Right.
Because he called them their two prophets, right?
Right.
Because these two prophets tormented them and dwelt on them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit, the Spirit, the refining Spirit, the Lamb, okay, of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet. What just happened here? You have a resurrection. They killed, their bodies are dead, and they just stood on their feet, and the Spirit of God filled them. And they stood on their feet with great, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Why are they fearing? These are the same God coming. They see Christ coming in wrath, and they still are blaspheming him. Mm-hmm. But yet there's still a remnant here. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up into heaven in a cloud. Does this sound familiar?
Yeah.
We shall meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds, so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's the same event.
Yeah.
It's 1 Thessalonians 4. Yeah. There's only one resurrection.
Right.
There's not many. There's one. On the day of the Lord, he's going to resurrect. So they're going up with us. We go up with them. And their enemies beheld them. In the same hour, where am I? In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. In the earth there were slain men 7,000. And the remnant, when you see this remnant, this is the Jewish people that are now about to get saved, right? These are the ones that he just said, I will pour upon the house of David. Revelation 1:7 says, they will look on me whom they have pierced. So they're the ones who pierced him, right? And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. So you see two people. You see one being affrighted, knowing that God's wrath is coming, and you see another group being affrighted, giving glory to God. This is the third of the Jewish people that he is going to save on the day of the Lord. So my point was, you could see that taking place as the harvest, right? You can see that taking place. It's the resurrection. All these events seem to coincide with the same day. James 5. That's not James 5:79. That'd be tough to find James 5:79. Okay, James 5:7-9. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and he had long patience for it, until he received the early and the latter rain. There it is. The early rain was the Holy Spirit being poured out in the book of Acts, and we did this. We went through the book of Acts and saw all the miracles that the Holy Spirit was doing at that time that aren't taking place today.
Right.
But that Holy Spirit is going to be poured out again in the latter days, the latter rain, during the last 3.5 years, and you're going to see these miracles again. Be patient, therefore, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not against one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth, thank you, my dear, standing at the door, before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. What? We're told we're not. No, that's not for us. Here we're told we are, right? So look at 17 and 18. Elijah was a man subject like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So here you go.
3.5 years again?
Right. So look at 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain and brought forth her fruit. There's the latter rain, and at the end of the latter rain, there's going to be a harvest, and it's going to bring forth her fruit, which is the believer. Right? Ezekiel 37. This I love, too, because a lot of people don't understand that even though the Bible says one resurrection, so the dead in Christ rise first. There's an order to it. The dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive. But there's also a remnant of Jewish people that have to be raised on that day.
Yeah. And remembering, it's a twinkling of an eye.
That's right.
We're not talking about a six-hour period.
That's right.
It's really quick.
Well, like I said, we're going to look at it. I believe Because when he appears, there's a resurrection. Mm-hmm. He calls people up to him. But yet, at the day of judgment, he says, I'm going to raise even the heathen.
Right.
So John chapter 5 says there's an hour between the two resurrections. And like you said, how long does it take to resurrect somebody? Right? Okay,
so if Jewish unbelievers will have opportunity to see Christ,
yep.
And they'll be part, as well as the remnant that is alive, they will be part of that harvest.
Yep. You want to see a picture of this? It's in 1 Kings when there's Elijah is on the mountain, and three groups of Jewish people come to him, mm-hmm. and he slaughters the first two, and the third one is rescued. A third of them are going to be saved. So if they're going to be saved, they have to be resurrected, right? 37, Ezekiel 37. This, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me away in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. Valley is a picture of death, and which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. And he said unto me, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Isn't the Bible beautiful?
It really is.
God knows everything. You can ask God questions.
Right.
You can ask God questions.
Especially when he puts you in a position to ask questions.
Yeah.
You know, he takes you to the valley and says, look at all these bones. What do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. You tell me.
Yeah, you tell me. Yeah.
Again, he said, prophesy upon these bones, saying to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord's coming. They're going to hear the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Breath. Mm-hmm. What did Jesus do to the apostles?
He breathed on them,
and they walked.
They received
the Spirit. I will lay sinew, so now he's going to put bone upon bone, mm-hmm. right? Flesh upon flesh on dead people. Mm-hmm. I will lay sinews upon you, and I will fill your flesh up. Somebody read that for me. And will bring flesh upon you. Remember we said that the resurrection, what did Jesus say about the resurrection? He didn't say, I'm flesh and blood.
No,
he said, I'm flesh and bone. So the resurrection is actually a fleshly body and bone that the blood has been emptied because the blood is soiled. Upon you, and I will cover your skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, and bone to his bone. And I behold, lo, the sinews, and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, and that they may live. So I prophesied, and commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they what?
Stood up.
Sound familiar? That's what the two prophets just did. Mm-hmm. They stood upon their feet. But yet, what did they become? A great army.
Mm-hmm.
A great army fights somewhere.
Yeah.
Where? At Armageddon. That means they're resurrected before Armageddon. Right? If they're going to become mm-hmm. a great army. And he said unto me, son of man, these bones are what? The whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost, and we are cut off of our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves. There's a resurrection. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves. And I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall have a place in you, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Now, boy. Yeah, we're going to learn. Okay, we'll just So now, they're no different than us. Right. When they get saved, we get saved. We don't get saved 7 years later, and then they're get saved by keeping the law. We're get saved. So look what it says here. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, Son of man, moreover, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and the children of Israel and his companions. Right? And for the other stick, write upon it Joseph and the stick of Ephraim and for all the house of Israel and his companions. And join them one to another, one stick, and they shall become one in my hand. You notice he's not doing this by tribes? He's doing it by people. And who is Ephraim, Kevin?
Gentiles.
The Gentiles. We're going to look at this. The Ephraim, when Joseph's children are before Jacob, and Jacob takes the elder and puts him on the left hand, and the younger and puts him on the right hand, right? Manasseh is Israel, and Ephraim are the Gentiles.
Right.
But they're not just Gentiles and Jewish people, they're believers.
Right.
They're in the group. They're in the family. Go read Genesis 48, 49. It's a beautiful picture of the Gentile being included in God's plan.
Yeah, laborers, too.
Yeah. Absolutely. Plan,
The ones who labored under the sun were paid the same as the ones who gave the labor the last hour.
That's right. That's right.
A lot of
us. It's a beautiful, we'll look into it. You know, I don't just say things. You guys know me. I'm going to prove it through the scriptures, not because of Tom's opinion, but we've been lied to. We've been lied to left and right about what the Bible says, and we're just going to go by what the Bible says. Okay, so Malachi, look at Malachi. Does that make sense right there? That God is going to raise up Jewish people at Resurrection Day. See, I think the question with us has always been, well, I get a resurrection of the believers. What about the Jewish people? They're going to be resurrected too.
Remember, when it was promised to Abraham and his seed.
That's right.
And Abraham was a Gentile.
And not only that, what did he say about Abraham? That he is a father of believers.
Yes.
Of believers. I'll make thee a father of many nations, including Israel. We don't deny Israel.
Right. No.
What was the scripture reference to?
He only said Malachi.
The Italian guy. Yeah, Malachi. This is wonderful. Gayla.
Yes.
For Malachi 3. You want to read a lot?
Okay.
Malachi 3, listen to what this says until 4, 6. 3, 1 to 4, 6.
Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the idolaters and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye said, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delight. Some land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet he say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, yea, that they work wickedness are set up, yea, that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, and that thou thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day, when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that they shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto them that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do with this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, in all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse.
Well done, my dear. That was wonderful. So clearly you see a burning here at the second coming.
Mm-hmm.
For them, bad. For us, good. Right? Now, to me, these aren't coincidences either. In verses 4 and 5, he mentions the two, Moses and Elijah.
Right.
So, I mean, these are clearly things being done, being taught to us more than what is on your paper. There is a spiritual realm to all these things, and we need to tap into this. Okay, so it's just, I mean, there's so much meat right here. You want to study end times? Read the minor prophets.
Amen.
Read the minor prophets and study them and tie them in with this knowledge that there isn't a taking away of people 7 years before. That everything is culminated at the day of the Lord. One day, one 24-hour day, it takes place. We've studied that. It is a one-day event, and everything takes place on that day. And there's the order of things right there that I believe the Bible teaches. These things are going to happen in their order. Are there other things that take place during that day? Yes, but these are the main events. There's going to be a wedding feast after the judgment seat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Dave, Luke 3, 4, 9, and 16 and 17.
Where was it?
Luke 3, 4 through 9. And 16 and 17.
As it is written in the book of the words of Esaias, Elias, the prophet, saying, the voices of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized with him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. 16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latch of those whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable.
With the Holy Ghost and with fire. Mm-hmm. Have you been baptized with fire? I've got the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I haven't been baptized with fire. You take your Bible literally? I do. There's a baptism of fire coming. For us, it's a purifying fire, a cleansing. He's going to take out the dross. He's going to remove all the sin of this, and it's going to purify me. That Holy Spirit, that fire is coming. And like we said, it's not some guy took it on his grill. That is a fire of God that is coming.
What we've seen in Scripture since we've been studying this, that there's the thing that we know is reality today, a fire, a burning bush or something like that, a fire outside. And it really just destroys. If you start a charcoal fire, it destroys.
That's
the charcoal,
right.
Turns into ash. But we also know there's a fire that comes that actually refines.
That's right.
Pulls out. It brings life.
Yep.
You know?
That's right.
So the fire from Christ will rejuvenate, it'll build, but the fire from the world destroys and consumes.
That's right.
Right? So the fire that's going to come from Jesus, comes from Jesus through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that tongue of fire that set on the original 120 in the upper room, which the other 3,000 didn't receive,
right.
The tongue, but they received the Holy Ghost. Anyhow,
yeah.
That's just a thought that ran across my mind, which is scampering. And so, anyhow, in that looking for the consuming or the rebuilding fire of Christ in our life, we need to be in tune to
that's
Jesus,
right.
What he says.
Right.
And not so much of what we think.
You're not going to call these things.
Right, amen. Yeah.
You be faithful to him.
Yes.
He will use you.
Right.
He will use you to tell people about
yeah.
what's going on with corona and vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
He will use you to hand
right.
out the prayer. He'll do it. It's not
yes,
you.
It's not you.
It's never. We're worthless.
Amen.
We are worthless.
Amen.
In our best effort, we are worthless. It is only him and him alone.
My righteousness won.
Filthy rags. If I am angry, there is no righteousness in this flesh.
Amen.
That's why he's going to burn this flesh, and the only righteousness left is his righteousness. When he appears, I will be like
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
I can't be like him right now. I want to. I'm sick of myself. I'm sick of my sins. I'm sick of giving in. I want that. It's coming. It's coming. Okay, so now this is a synoptic gospel, what we just read here. I'll read it for you in Mark 1:8. I indeed baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Doesn't say anything about fire here. See, this is why your Bible is so important to read, to study it. Not just read through it, study it. When you see this, especially the Gospels, go find the matching, the synoptic gospel to that, and you're going to gain more knowledge of it. Why? Because the first coming, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. The second coming, you're going to receive the fire of the Holy Ghost. And we're not just, you know, this isn't like some kind of, you know, nutcase Pentecostals. And I'm not talking about the good Pentecostals. I'm talking about the snake handlers and the stardust coming off the ceiling.
Yeah.
There are good Pentecostals.
There are.
Okay. Okay, so in Matthew 3, you turn to Luke 12. Matthew 3 says it's the same thing. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So look at Luke 12, 41-54. And then we're going to have a bunch of reading here. Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even unto all? Then the Lord said, who is this faithful and wise servant whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them his portion in due season? Blessed is that Lord whom the Lord, when he cometh, finds so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink with the drunken, The Lord of that servant will come in the day when he looketh not for him, and he will in an hour where he is not aware, and he will cut him asunder, and he will appoint him a portion of the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For whomsoever much is given, to him much shall be required. And to whom of men have committed much of him will he ask more. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what if it is already kindled? I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it is accomplished? Suppose ye that I have come to send peace on the earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. So there you go. Actually, 54 says, when you see a cloud rise, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway ye say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. And when you see a south wind blow, ye say, there will be heat, and it comes to pass. Ye hypocrites, ye concern the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it that you cannot discern the time? Right? We get this. Okay. So, the next part here is the trying of fire. John, 1 Peter 1, 1 through 9. Paul Keller, 1 Peter 4, 12 to 14. Kevin, you want to read? This book. Yeah. Job 23, 10 to 12. Jim? Psalm 17, 2 through 8. Diane? Murray? Daniel 11, 32 to 35.
First Peter, what?
That you're First Peter, what were you called? No, you're Job. Job 23, 10 to 12.
Psalm 17.
Yeah, you got Psalm 17, 3 to 8. Diane, Daniel 11, 32 to 35. We're all good? Everybody know where you're at?
I don't know what order
we're at. We're going to go out of your order. Oh, I missed him. All right, that's all right.
1 Peter 1, 1 through 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. But the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom have ye not seen, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls.
Was Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in so much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it is first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?
Okay.
And if
we're good. Okay, so, I mean, get a picture here. The triune fire seems to be when he comes. That's the fire that's coming, and he's tying it in with the second coming. Go ahead.
But he knows where I'm going and where, when he tests me. I will come out as pure as gold, for I've stayed on God's paths. I've followed his ways and not turned aside. I've not departed from his commands, but I've treasured his words more than daily food. Once he has made his decision, who can change his mind? Whatever he wants to do, he does. So he will do to me whatever he has planned. He controls my destiny. Mm-hmm.
Psalm 17:3-6. Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt not find nothing. I am perfect that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of man, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the hands of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called unto thee, for thou it will hear, O God, incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech.
So, you see the triune there, right? And so, if you just hang on to that, if you look at verses 7 and 8, he says, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou wilt save us by thy right hand, them which keep their trust in thee, those that rise and those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of the wing, from the wicked that oppress me, from deadly enemies that compass me about. So you can see two people. He's going to destroy one and rescue the other. When? During a 7-year period or on one day?
One day.
Go ahead, Diane.
Daniel 11:32-35. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flattery. But the people that do the God shall be strong and do exploit. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword, and by the flame, by captivity, by spoil, many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall behold them with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flattery. And some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them, and to purge, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet there. It is yet for a time appointed.
So we can see there's going to be martyrdom to us. But why is he allowing them? To purge you, to try you. If he wants me to die a martyr's death, to try me, to try my heart, so be it.
Or here's a different thought. He kills me to try you.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Will you stand even though you're watching this guy burn it?
Yeah.
Will you stand?
Yeah.
Regardless.
Hey, do I care how I die if he's in it?
It's even beyond a trying of oneself. It's that relationship that she was talking about in prison. It is in our trying that we become the end of ourselves. When
right.
We become the end of ourselves. We're fully open
right.
to the Spirit
right.
of God. That's the relationship. That's what he wants. It's not, I want Wendy to suffer.
Right.
Yeah. I want Wendy to turn
I'm
going to
be glorified.
Cry, Abba Father.
That's right.
And I want to have a relationship with her because that's why I sent my son.
That's
so
that's right.
It's beyond just the trying. It is what the trying brings.
God gets glorified in the persecuted suffering.
Yeah.
He gets glorified in it.
Let me go back to the two witnesses. Elijah was down to, I don't know if there's
right.
a few hundred believers left in
right.
Israel.
Yeah.
And was out in the wilderness being fed by birds. It kept his faith.
Yeah.
And now he's with God in heaven.
Yeah.
So how strong do you think his faith is? That's why I think the two witnesses, their faith, they went through the trials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they're in the
yeah.
actual presence, the witnesses, they're
yeah.
in the presence of God. Then when they return, they're going to have a power that we won't have.
Amen. Well, like when they saw the risen Christ, right? Their faith grew exponentially.
Right.
Not the two witnesses, but just people, the 500 people that were still alive when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. Those folks, or the majority of 500 are still alive. Those folks, they when you know something that is true, you will die for the truth. Very few people will die for something they know that's not true, especially a torturous type of death. In that torturing, I really believe that God allows you to maybe not feel the pain. You look at the ones who were burned at the stake, through those times, right? And that, not that it didn't hurt, but you were the witnesses that I wasn't alive in those days. But during the Spanish
Inquisition,
those people who were being burned and put through the Iron Maiden and stuff like that, they were glorifying God.
When you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you know, when they were slaughtering them in the Colosseum, they were singing hymns.
They were singing hymns.
I think there's a spirit of grace that comes over the believer.
I believe he draws you through that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Or comforts you
yes.
as you go through the trial. So you go through a trial, you'll draw close to him.
Mm-hmm.
He comforts you.
That's good. And the more trials you go through, the more he's building your faith.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, so we're still in Daniel there. Look at Daniel 12. What event is this? 12:1. And at that time shall Michael. 1 Thessalonians 4 says the archangel. At the rapture, he's going to send the archangel, and he's going to gather his armies. So here's Michael, the archangel.
Right.
I only know of one archangel.
Yeah.
I don't know that Gabriel's an archangel. The only one called archangel is Michael.
Michael. Yeah.
Gabriel is a chief prince.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so at that time shall Michael stand up, the great good stand for the children of that people. So he's talking about Israel here. But wait a minute, is it just Israel? And there shall be a time of trouble, which never was. There was a nation even till the time of the end. And at that time shall be delivered everyone found written in the book. It's not just Jewish people. Kevin, you're written. Paul's written. I'm with them. We are written together with them. So at this time, this is clearly 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 right here. Well, look at what it says in verse 10. Many shall be purified. Where? At the resurrection. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. And the wicked, here you go, two people. And the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. This is understanding because I'm just so smart that I'm going to graduate 12th grade. Right? That's not why I'm smart. I'm smart because he's smart.
Right.
And it's just wonderful to see God's hand. We say it all the time. It took me 2 years to get through the third grade.
Yeah.
And it took me all summer to get through the ninth grade. I am not a smart person, but I believe this. Revelation, Alan 2:10, Revelation 2:10, 3:10, 2:10 and 3:10.
Revelation 2:10?
Right.
Fear none of those things which thou hast suffered. Behold, the devil hath cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and that ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life.
3:10 and 11.
11:3, right?
Yeah, 3:10, 11.
Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon world to try, which shall come upon the world to try them and dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown.
So you can clearly see here, there's a temptation that's going to come on the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'm going to keep you from it. Think of one event that the whole world is going to be tempted to take. That God said, Kevin, you're not taking that. Think of one event that the whole world is going to say, you take this and I'll let you people live. You'll take this and you'll be under my authority. What event could that be? The mark of the beast. And God said, you're not taking that.
Or the shadow.
It's not in you. It's not in you. He's going to do it. You just believe in him, and he is going to stop you from taking the mark.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I believe it.
Yes.
I believe it. I just trust him. I said it all the time. These last 2.5 years that they've been telling us, we're all going to starve, we're going to die of COVID, the BLM's going to beat you up and kill you. I've slept like a baby.
Yeah.
I've not been, there's been no anxiety. I said, Lord, I'm just going to trust you.
He's in control.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Looks like, so here it is, the promise of the Comforter. Kevin?
Yeah.
John 14, 15 to 26.
John 14, what?
15 to 26.
Okay. Everybody ready?
Yep.
Okay. Well, John 14, 15 to 26. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day, ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being at present with you. So on. Continue.
We have one more.
Okay. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you.
Makes sense? Yeah. Wendy, trust yourself or the Holy Spirit?
No.
Right?
Holy Spirit.
So I'm going to set up Acts chapter 2. Wendy, read Luke 24, 49. So here's the promise of Acts chapter 2. And the rest of us can turn to Acts 2.
24:49.
49. Yeah.
Right now?
Yep.
Okay. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, that tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high.
So here's the early rain. Acts chapter 2. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Fully. See, all those Levitical laws, they were the type.
Mm-hmm.
Full. Now, here it is. It's arrived. All those typologies that God taught us that these things do, Christ fulfills all the feasts
right.
and all the law. So here it is. It is fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place. And there came... And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house and they were where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like what?
As of fire.
And sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay? So, 17 to 21. Holy cloven tongues as fire. And these people receive this spirit of fire, and they started going out and doing miracles in the name of the Lord. Why? Because of them? Because of God. 17 and 21. Okay. And there shall come to pass in the last day, say to God, that I will pour out my spirit. What did he tell the Jews he was going to do? Pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Not some, all. all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into the blood, before the great notable day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, here you go. Did this happen at Acts? No, it didn't. This is a future prophecy. Turn to Joel chapter 2. This is a future prophecy that God said is going to happen when the Holy Spirit is poured out again in the latter rain. So, if you look at Joel 28 to 32, he's saying the same thing he just said in Acts. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great notable day of the Lord. But look at verse 23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. So here's the promise that the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out again like it was in the book of Acts, and we are going to be partakers of this. Why you would want to be removed from this 7 years before baffles me. And it's because the pre-tribbers do not really know that God is going to be glorified in your tribulation. Okay, so one more here.
What was that?
It was Acts 2, 1 through 4, 17 to 21, and Joel 2, 28 to 32, and 23. I did it in that order, because that's okay. What God showed me.
Okay.
Okay, so Hosea, look at Hosea.
If nothing else, you get to learn where all the books of the Bible are.
Hosea 6? Yeah. Hosea 6, 1 through 3. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal. Heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, the day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is the Lord. After 2 days, he will revive us, and in the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow to know that the Lord is going forth, he is prepared as the morning. He shall come as the rain, and as the latter rain, and as the former rain. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't your Bible just beautiful?
Amen.
Right? It's tied in, the latter rain, the fire, is tied in with the resurrection, with the second coming. Hebrews 12. So Hebrews 12. Look at 22 to 29. Where's Mount Zion? Is it on earth? Yeah, but not really.
Again, it's a physical picture of the spiritual reality.
Yeah. The real Mount Zion is where? Hebrews 12, 22. Yeah. Mountains are kingdoms.
Yep.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn. Is it so? The church of the firstborn. Is that just Christians? Is that just Gentiles? They're all there. And he called them the church. He called the Jews, the wandering Jews in Acts chapter 7, the church in the wilderness. A church is a congregation of God's people.
Well, it's a people group that's called out of a mass of people.
Yep.
So you have the earth, the people of the earth, and then God says, you, and you, and you,
yes.
And you, and you, and you. Your names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life
before
the foundation of the world.
That's right.
Not everybody, just you guys.
Okay, so, and Jesus, the mediator of the 24th, new covenant and blood, the sprinkling that speaketh of better things than Abel. We don't have time. That you refuse him that spruce him not that speaketh. For they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth. Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice shook the earth, but now had promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And the word once, yet once more, signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, as the things that are made of those things which cannot be shaken remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. What? 29? Right? You get it? Now you get this? This is beautiful. Hebrews 11, 32. What shall I say more at that time? Fail unto me of Gideon and Barak, and not Obama, believe me. And of Samson and of Jephthah, David and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed feeble, valiant in flight, turned to the flight of the armies of the aliens. Women, here you go. Women received their dead raised to life again. They're dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. See, the women whose lives, children were brought, that's not a resurrection. That is a reviving of a dead body. A resurrection is you putting on a glorified body. It's a better resurrection. Okay, so look at 39. All these have, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So the better thing, the better resurrection, is our resurrection against that resurrection, and they are not going to do it without us.
Well, so it will be complete.
That's right. So think of this. I don't think we have time for it. Go read Daniel 3, 15 to 27, about the three Hebrew boys that are thrown one fire, and there's two people. One group is consumed by the fire. The other, they're not even singed. Not a hair. Their clothes aren't burned. And who is in the fire, that fire, with the three? The fourth one. If you're catching on, the number four in your Bible is the dimensional. It's the spiritual number. The fourth one is Christ, and he's in, and there is nothing harmed even on their head. Their clothes aren't singed or anything, and that's a fire that is protecting one group and purifying them and is burning the other group. So, there's more to this. Deb has it there, if you want to study it, but I thought we got through the meat of this. So, John, there's a fire for them bad, for us good.
Right?
Amen. Father God, and anyway, guys, anything to say? Anybody got to add anything?
I'm not in front of you. We'll talk about
it. Okay. Yeah, and, so I know I can be abrasive. I don't mean to.
Yeah.
And I can also kind of be offensive. I don't mean to be. If I call your name out, I'm not picking at you. It's just how I am. I call people's names out.
It's okay to be passionate.
And that's it. I am passionate. Please. And I know I'm working on it. Try not to see my passion with abrasiveness.
Yeah.
You started this today with a verse out of 1 Corinthians 3. 3?
Yeah.
Well, 3:1 was it?
3:18.
Oh, 3:18.
3:18. Okay, that's not the one I was reading there.
Yeah. No, it's not. It was a maybe second.
I wrote down second, but John corrected me, so maybe it's second. That's what I wrote.
First Corinthians or second?
I wrote second. And then he said it was first.
I think this was what we were looking at.
And I just have a note of my own. I don't know
where I got it from, the reflection of Christ in us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I think when that fire takes place and we are refined, we will have the reflection of Christ in us.
Absolutely. Right. And I think that is 3:15. If that man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so by fire. So the works of this world are going to be burned up, and the only thing left is your faith in Christ that you're going to be saved by fire. Okay? We're good? Lord God, you are, we're just in awe of you, Lord, how perfect your word is. Thanks for teaching us today that fire that's coming for us is good, Lord. But there's also people that are going to be burned and tormented forever in fire. Lord, you don't want this. We shouldn't want it either. Cause us to be lights in this dark world. Cause us to be witnesses in a world that's going to be burned up. And the only thing left, like you said in your word, are the things that were not shaken. The only way not to be shaken, Lord, is to be in you. Please, help us, Lord. We want to live for you. We fail in our flesh, but our spirit says, yay. Please, Lord, help us draw nearer to you in these days, to be witnesses to lost people in these days, that more weight may come into the kingdom, and cause us to be better people this morning as we leave than when we first came in. I pray for Curtis, Lord, that you would just keep feeding your flock through his mouth. Use us as vessels to glorify you because you're worthy of it. In Jesus' name.